So with ADHD, mainly it was that I couldn't pay attention at one thing for very long, especially if it didn't catch my interest. So I would get bored very quickly, which is one of the factors that, helped me become who I am, because I got bored so much in high school that I was like, I want to do something exciting. But it's hard for me to pay attention to things. Even if it's extremely interesting, I lose interest quickly. And honestly, it affected my education in certain ways, but it affected my relationships with people. It affected my ability to just invest my own time and energy in things that I really mattered, until I was able to, tame my own self to use this not as a way, to not look at it rather as a disadvantage, but rather as an advantage that I can use in a different way. And for me, mindset is a huge thing. So I'll look at things in a different manner to see how can I utilize this rather as a power than as a disadvantage.
Thank you for spending some time to talk to us. I think we got in touch because of Abhishek.
Yes. He's a great guy, and he told me about your episode and how long and exciting it was. I was like, you know what, I have to be on something like this. And yeah, really excited to be here. And thank you for having me. And it's my pleasure to be able to, add to your community.
You talk about building brands on the internet. And, I really think that a lot of businesses and a lot of us don't quite understand how to go about it. And, even if people do understand how to do it, there are always ways to improve on it. It's more like a never-ending game. So, I would like to learn more about how you do it and how you got started. And it's great that, you're trying to build something of your own.
Absolutely. So, yes, I'm Arkel Sohara. I'm a brand strategist and the founder of Iculus, which is a brand strategy consultancy. And yeah, what you said is true. It's a part of it. So what I do is I help people express their brands. And the way I see it, a brand is one's personality or their purpose and personality mixing together is what creates a brand. We all have our own energies, our own personality traits, and how we get into a room and communicate with people. The perception we craft, it can be, hey, how are you, being bright and energetic, or being all down, like, hey, not showing any interest. But regardless of what we do, it crafts a perception. And when we do it authentically, it creates a lasting impression. And I help businesses, individuals, tangible and intangible beings express their authentic self. And when I say intangible means, I don't mean spirits, I mean businesses that are compiled of multiple other people, partners who come together to build something. I help them express their authentic self, not just on the internet, but with every interaction, both in person and overall through any product on the shelf, through any messaging they might read anywhere else, partially on the internet, anywhere else, but so that regardless of every interaction that takes place, it feels authentic and right, and feels like you're actually talking to the person itself. That's what I do. So that's one of the, that's what I do as a brand strategist. And the next question was my process towards it. And I have a really different process. I don't believe in frameworks, because I feel like if a strategist has a common solution for all their clients, and they're not selling you strategy, they're selling you a cookie cutter frame. And that's not what strategy is, because everybody is unique. Everybody has their own individual personality. And even though we might have common traits, the mixture that compiles us is unique. It's not going to be in someone else. And when I work with my clients, I tell them that imagine yourselves to be the parents and me the therapist. We are in a therapeutic room. We're having a therapy session. And your brand is like a child. And now we're going to be the old Indian sociopathic parents. We're like, we will decide what our child will be. We'll decide everything about it. And let's do that. And figure out exactly who you want your brand to be and how authentic you want it to be. Because I feel like everybody knows what they want. It's just that they need to figure it out better. It's always there lurking around in the corner. But I help them achieve that clarity so that they can figure out how to go about it. And once they identify that, I help them express it in the most authentic way they can. So that's the way I go about it. I hope I answered your questions.
Yeah. I'm also very curious to know, like, how you got started. I believe, you told me that you got started quite early. Like, you started working right when you were still in school.
Yes.
So could you, Leon, take us back and share a little bit as to, you know, how was school like and why did you feel like, you know, you need to do something apart from school?
Absolutely. So I'm one of those kids who was extremely smart, but not at all interested in things. And the way school used to be is I would be, even if I wasn't paying attention, I would grasp everything. And once I knew something and if it made sense to me, I could go about explaining it and, you know, breaking down further concepts in it. So school became boring very quickly. And I'm someone who always likes to overcome challenges and who wants to build something of its own, of my own, mainly because I know what it is to have limitations and I know what can be done once you overcome them. So I belong to the neurodivergent community. That means I have ADHD, dyslexia, and a motor nerve problem. And due to which I was facing certain limitations and I wanted to overcome them. And while I faced them at a very early stage around third grade, it took me a couple of years, a few months, especially the last few months, which were really crucial, where I actually made the initial breakthroughs with the mindset. But once I did, I realized that I can do a lot more things. And there are no limitations. You just need to find a different way to go about achieving what you want. And so I decided what I wanted to do. And I'm someone who likes designing, expressing. So I started freelancing. And I started freelancing through high school. It was around the beginning of seventh grade when I decided. Through sixth, I was like, I need to do something. I just overcame these things. Like it was the end of sixth where I overcame all my limitations and had this mindset. And I was like, I need to do something. And so when I started seventh grade, I started. I didn't always start with design. I started with beta testing for games. Then I was like, let me design some games and let me see how that is. Then I even considered getting into development, but I was like, yeah, that's not going to be my thing. And so I started with graphic design and game design and slowly transitioned over to a graphic design one day when my school enrolled me into a graphic design championship. And I realized that even they told me that, you know, 20 minutes before the competition that, hey, you know what? You're also in a graphic design championship. So I was like, so, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. Thank you for informing me last minute. But I whipped up something like 23 minutes or so. And I timed it because I wanted to brag about that as well. And so I told that to the judge and it was about saving girl child, which is a topic I'm really connected with and I really believe in. So it was easy for me to express those things. And I came second place. And even though it's not about the awards and all, it helped me realize that this is what I want to do. I want to help certain causes, help them overcome their limitations like I have been able to do with my own, and help businesses. So I started graphic designing further and reaching out to companies and designing for them, mainly those who were really doing something with their profits and in ways to help causes. Now, the way I started into all of these things was really tricky, and it played a huge role. Well, my mindset played a huge role in enabling me to do so, because we are in India. Nobody hires a seventh grader. Nobody hires anybody when they don't have a degree at all. And I was in seventh grade. I was still in school. And I knew that if I wanted to get into this world and start making an impact, not just do something, but start making an impact, I had to be seen as someone who doesn't just know what they're doing, but is professionalism at such a level, who's professional at such a level that it makes sense that they're reaching out to us. Like me as an individual is reaching out to them. So aside from my age, what else could I do? So I had to set up things around myself that literally positioned me as that professional. I had my profiles optimized. I did work that was really, like, I created mock projects. I spoke in certain ways. I figured out what I needed to be and started playing the cards right away so that I wasn't someone who just knew what they were doing, but was someone who was worthy of reaching out to these people. And I was reaching out to people internationally where my age didn't matter. I had my profile set up in such a way where it sounded very clearly that what I do and I know what I'm doing and how I could impact them. And it did play a huge problem sometimes when clients would interact with me on a video call and be like, you look a bit too young. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And generally I would try avoiding that question a lot. But when it did come up, I had to deal with it. But slowly and surely, I didn't just become great at what I did. I even grew up. And with the time, I wasn't just someone who was an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old who already had an agency, but someone who had so many years of experience and understanding and who experimented and came across so many challenges that gave me the edge that I needed to not just be a great service provider, but an industry leader, and to be able to impact many people.
Would you be, you know, comfortable sharing a little bit more about, I think you mentioned ADHD. I don't think a lot of people are aware about it in a way. Maybe in the other parts of the world, there is more awareness about it. But I don't think in India, it's very well understood. So would you be able to, like, you know, share some insight as to what it is and what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing with neurodivergent, you know, abilities, in a way, ability is the right word, but let's say, you know, these disorders, is that it affects everybody in a different way. There are common threads, but everybody experiences them in a different manner. And I had the mixture of ADHD, dyslexia, and a motor neurone problem that came around later. And so with ADHD, mainly it was that I couldn't pay attention at one thing for very long, especially if it didn't catch my interest. So I would get bored very quickly, which is one of the factors that, you know, helped me become who I am, because I got bored so much in high school that I was like, I want to do something exciting. But it's hard for me to pay attention to things. Even if it's extremely interesting, I lose interest quickly. And honestly, it affected my education in certain ways, but it affected my relationships with people. It affected my ability to just invest my own time and energy in things that really mattered, until I was able to, you know, tame my own self to use this not as a way, to not look at it rather as a disadvantage, but rather as an advantage that I can use in a different way. And for me, mindset is a huge thing. So I'll look at things in a different manner to see how can I utilize this rather as a power than as a disadvantage. And it took some time, and I had an extremely supportive parents from the time. They helped me figure out what I was going through. They kept me in schools that could help me with those things aside, and didn't want me to feel different, but rather help me be in the right environment, but still get the help I needed. And these, with that, I was able to channel my lack of being able to pay attention to things to be able to focus on the things that really matter, find my own purpose, passion, and even help with my clients in certain ways that I could pick out the things that really mattered to them or really mattered to me and help emphasize on those things. With dyslexia, it was the same thing. It's hard for me to keep track of, it's hard for me to absorb a lot of content when it's written down in like 10,000 words and everything. So it's hard for me to grasp those things. And rather, you know, to be able to just read them, I try to listen to things, I try to break them down. And it's hard to, you know, read stuff, write stuff. Sometimes you lose track of things because there's just a lot of things to absorb right away. And it affects people in different manners. But with me, it was that I couldn't, literally, it started giving me headaches. So I was losing focus on things sometimes when I was writing them or reading them. So if sometimes people would ask me to stand up and read things, I would like mutter sentences, confuse myself. And honestly, it sucked because I hated it. I knew how much potential I have, and I was like, God, this is going down the drain. And so I rather used it again through high school itself in a way to utilize that ability to just focus on the things at once. So I literally trained myself to use my ADHD and dyslexia in such a matter, in such a way that when I would look at read things, I would just focus on one part as if highlighted personally in my own mind, and then read through those things. And yeah, so with those, I was able to overcome them. And then the worst thing was the motor neurone problem that I came across, which was my hand couldn't keep up with a lot of times with the things I was writing or doing. So if I utilize my hand in a certain moment for way too long, it would start cramping and it would start hurting. And it honestly made things really bad because my handwriting went down the drain. And sometimes if I was writing complex things, I would lose track of words because while the signal to write those words has already gone, my mind would lose them and my hand would kind of not capture them right away. And I would move on to the next thing, so I'd skip certain words and statements. And I lost the ability to make art, the ability to play basketball, which things that I really enjoyed. But then once again, I found ways to, you know, train it and then not just, you know, overcome them, but, you know, use them as well. So I started doing parkour and fencing. And even in terms of art, while I couldn't make regular art that well, I started getting into digital art. I found my way once again. And we have so many tools where we have pen tools and Illustrator where we can literally change the direction of things as per we require. So I found opportunities, potential, and still kept going. There's just, you know, things come your way and you can either choose to embrace it and accept defeat or embrace a pivot and grow anyways.
So is this something that you kind of got from your parents, or like I'm talking about the mindset thing that, you know, there are obstacles, but it's all right. Let's figure out a way to build your work around it. Do you think it comes from your parents or you kind of developed it on your own?
I think it comes from my parents, but it also comes from my environment that my parents provided me with, because they never lost hope in me. They never let go of me in these ways, like nothing will happen, this is the end. They always supported me. They helped me find what I could do. And even if it wasn't like, you know, with extreme things, they supported me where things really matter, the conversations and stuff like that. And yeah, it is my parents, but it's also the environment, the challenges that I personally faced. But I feel like a mindset always comes from within. Regardless of everything around you, you can either choose to look at it one way or the other way. You can always be like, oh, this, and they're always talking well with me and they're supporting me because I need that support, so I am damaged. Or they can be like, oh, I have such amazing parents that really are supporting me, so that I'm not just, you know, looking at myself as if I'm damaged, but rather I have an ability and I can utilize it. This is just another obstacle that people face. Everyone has their own. This is just mine. So yeah, but it is from within, but it's also the environment that is provided around you.
So when you say within, right, is this like a mental chatter that you have? Like, you know, there is a voice that you hear from inside that, you know what, let's figure something out.
Yeah, honestly, more often than not, I am the voice that is talking to my mental self. Like that transition has happened where now the positive voice is the one that speaks the most, and rather the, you know, condescending one is a bit on the background. But yeah, it is my own voice. And self-talk is really important. Like you can look at the mirror every day and be that you'll never be great and you'll never be great. Or you can look at yourself every day and even at the slightest wins, be happy about it, be confident about it and appreciate it. And you can slowly grow. Slowly but surely. Sometimes you have big wins, you can still embrace that. And sometimes you have small wins. But if you always look at the negative things or what has happened or what will happen or what you can't change, then you never grow. And your perspective never changes. So there's always a talk. I sometimes talk to myself a lot, even when I'm working, and sometimes it's out loud as well. But self-talk is really important and it helps craft the right perspective.
Yeah. And then, you know, your parents have always been there for you, right? And now you have built something very incredible on your own.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what do they think about it?
Well, while they're extremely proud of it and all, for them, I'm still the same kid who was mischievous, who wasn't listening to things, who'd rather, you know, not sleep and sleep in school and work on his company and designs. Then listen to them and all. But yeah, for me, they never really looked at me differently. They still see me the same way as I am, someone with a lot of potential and someone who is still their child. But yeah, they are extremely happy and supportive of everything I do. And with all the big decisions I make, I try to involve them as much as I can, because even though it will be my choice, I would like to hear their counsel. And yeah, it's really important.
It's very nice, you know, how you have been able to build everything up, actually. I'm very curious to know how you still do it. No, like on a day-to-day basis, right? When you are so young and we're trying to build something, there are just so many factors that want to stop you. Even in the world, right? Like you mentioned, people will not take you seriously or because of your age. And it has nothing to do with your ability. Does it make sense? Like all those obstacles, yeah. It's like whether you have the ability or not, the obstacles are just going to be there because of, let's say, oh, you are so young, right? So I'm sure you have figured it all out now, but when you faced it for the first time, like how do you think you responded to it?
Well, I knew that this would happen, and because I always wanted to do something of my own, and I knew I'd be doing it very young, and I know how the world treats you regardless of where you come from. I know how the world treats you. Like, even if you have connections, they will always look at you as someone's connection, but still someone young. You need to showcase your abilities. And one thing that's really important to know is that failure is not you. It's just an event. It's just another obstacle that happens. You can always look at failure and be like, this is the end point. Or you can just be like, you know what? It's time to Super Mario jump over it and go on to the next thing that's coming your way. Because even right now, I face rejection. I lose clients in my personal and professional relationships. I lose people. And it happens. It's there. It's part of it. But the thing that really matters, and I knew this from day one, obviously, the understanding of it became further with more right people and right interactions. And right interactions don't just mean the supportive ones, but the really challenging ones that I had to overcome, is that the challenge is always going to be there. There's always going to be one or the other challenge. Like, my agency has always been remote. Now, until the pandemic, people wondered, well, why are you a remote agency? Can we really trust working with you? And then the pandemic came, and practically half the people who were working with, you know, studio-based agencies in cities and all, they started working remotely as well because they had to, but they're still within the same city and all. And I was already working remotely across the globe. So challenges always come. You have to just find a different perspective to deal with them. And the way it comes by is that how much love and worth do you have for yourself? Like, when you have that perspective and you look at it, watch a lot of anime and movies, and you look at yourself in that manner as well, that, you know what, I am someone who can overcome things. I have a lot of potential. And so what, this might just be an episodic arc where, okay, I lost this time, but the next one I'm going to win. Next one I'm going to win. 3 seasons later, I'm going to be at a different place than when I started into season 1 and all. So it's just that you need to have the right perspective and the ability, because there were times I was like, screw this, this is not working. I didn't have clients for some time. And there were times I was like, wow, this is like the best smooth curve I've ever had. And things change, they go back and forth. But that's it. It's just another arc. You have to keep going. You have to keep embracing as well as pivoting. And you find the different things you can do and different things you're capable of doing.
You know, you mentioned that you already knew that this was going to happen. How did you know at such a young age? Do you read about it somewhere? Do you read a lot? Do you read books? Do you talk to people?
Well, I always talk with people. I'm very talkative in those manners. I'm not extremely extroverted, but I am very talkative and I like to do things that are challenging. But you just figure these things out, mainly because when you have certain conversations with people, and sometimes you don't even have to hear it from someone, you just know how the world works. Like, it's kind of like, I heard, like, one of my friends told me this. So they're African American, and they, a lot of these families like need to have the talks with their children as they're growing up, because regardless of what kind of neighborhood they're in, racism is always there. And they need to have this talk with their children, because even though they might not be young enough to learn about it, they are young enough to experience it. So they have these talks with them that, hey, this is how the world works. These are the things. These are things that can happen to you just because of your color of the skin and all. And he told me that his kid already knew about this. No one told him about it. It's just what he see. And while I never experienced racism or any of those things so far, I have been insulted for being an Indian by certain narrow-minded people and all. But
really?
It's just that. Well, people do say a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people have this reputation towards Indians that we are the scam artists or we are cheap labor and all. And I love proving them wrong. Like those moments where you, you know, have that, you know, extreme amazing win over them. It's just amazing. Not that they really matter that much, but they do play a nice touch to you. But yeah, it's just that, you know, these things you figure out, that you know that people don't value you if you don't have a degree, or at least the initial conversations are extremely difficult, different. You'll be undermined. And I experienced it as well. Like, a lot of people told me that you're just a kid. You don't have a degree yet. You don't have anything. Honestly, I didn't even go to art college ever. I was offered a couple of scholarships, but I didn't, because by the time they were offered, I already had so much experience working in the field that I was like, I'd rather start my own company. But you experience things. The conversations, they change. They start with asking, oh, you're so young. Can you really do this? Until you make it. And then once you make it, then they're like, oh, you're so young, you already did so many things. So the perspective and conversation still changes. And the thing that should really matter to you is, while either can play a huge role on you, one can bring you down and one can lift you up very high, you should just know who you are truly at your core, because ups and downs come. And age and everything, they don't really matter after a while. Like right now, I don't care. That I used to say this a lot. Like, I'm the 18-year-old brand strategist or the 18-year-old agency owner who has already impacted so many people. And because if you start using these things in a very negative manner, then you start playing them against yourself and you start actually plotting your own downfall. But rather, when you have a good perspective and you know your own value and worth, and you know that you're worth a lot more and the value always increases. But if you never let it get to your head, then things play out. But to answer, how did I know this? I knew the feeling. My parents told me this as well. Like, they told me that, you know, there will be certain downfalls. People might not accept you. People will doubt you and everything. But they're like, still go for it. And I did. They wanted me to experience whatever might happen. They wanted me to at least try it out. And I did. Sometimes I won. Sometimes I lost. Sometimes when I increased my prices drastically, they wondered, why is a kid doing this? So yeah, these things keep coming back and forth. But that's the thing. Like, once you go through them, you realize what else is actually out there. But you also realize what else you can do.
Do you think this also, like the perspective you have, right? It also helps your clients understand a lot of things. Like, do you think all your understanding, you can kind of also transfer it when you're working with your clients?
Absolutely. I completely believe that whatever we learn, we end up utilizing it in one way or the other. Even if we hear a quote and we have a, you know, introspection of it within ourselves, we end up using it way sooner than we think we might have to. That learning ends up influencing our next decisions very quickly than we realize. And yeah, everything that I've acquired, every challenge I've overcome, even the fact that I was young, was something I used to literally land clients and guide them. But I told them that the game is changing. The younger are coming, but it's also the education value and how easy it is to get these skills. And that means even your competitors might do this. So you need to grow, you need to thrive, and you need to figure out what's really trending, what's really needed right now, rather than what was working 20 years ago. And yeah, things play out.
So let's say you got started, right? And I'm sure eventually you figured out that, you know, there are new platforms, new technologies and trends coming on, which you will have to learn to be at the top of your game. So how do you go about, you know, educating yourself about what's next?
Oh yeah, this is a great topic, because just in September I gave a talk on how to use AI as an ally rather than as a competition. And I love this, because right now there's so many people who are fighting AIs, or they're saying that the AI is going to replace them, the AI is going to do this, and it's going to take away your jobs and all. But the AI is not here to replace you, but rather assist you. And you can, rather than fighting it, you can use it, because if the AI can do something in 10 seconds, which is at a basic level, you as an expert can guide it better, you can mold it better to create what you require at a much faster pace. And to give this talk, I didn't need to change my perspective. I already knew about it, mainly because I know one thing for sure, that there are always going to be new tools, but it's also your understanding of what you do and your skills. So as a brand strategist, I literally break down into personalities. I don't believe in those 16 brand archetypes. I believe that everybody is unique and we need to figure out that unique sense. So I don't even use any of those frameworks and everything, but rather I literally break down the personalities and figure out how to express each and every factor, aspects, need, and through each and every element. And it comes from your very well and deep understanding of what you do. Now, for me, that's branding. For me, that's freelancing. For some people, it's motion design. For some people, it's something else. But for each thing that we do, the deeper the understanding we have, the easier it is to transfer and utilize it with new tools. Even with AI, I was like, if you have a great understanding of design, use those styles and understanding to figure out new solutions with AI at a much faster pace, with less production time and cost of production, but with great results. You can mold it. You have more control now. You can bring your dreams and imaginations into reality. So the challenges are always out there. There's always going to be something new, because that's why we exist. Not just in terms of the AI, but in the general world. Innovation takes place, and we are out here trying to innovate to make things easier. And the AI is here to do that too. It is here to help make your job easier, help assist you better, help make things faster and easier to imagine. and you can either fight it, but even if you say I outdid the AI is not going to compare or compete. It's just going to learn from you. And the same goes with everything else. So you can either compare or compete, or you can collaborate and grow with people, with technology, with tools. You can grow, but you need to have a good understanding of what you do, and you need to be open to embracing and pivoting, because when you do that, you open yourself up to amazing potential and possibilities.
Could you also share, you know, how you are working with Abhishek, and I think you're working with Rivista right now?
Yes. So a great friend, Abhishek, and I am helping him with a couple of things, but mainly I'm helping them create humanistic content with their already amazing team. I'm helping them create content that can talk about the different impacts of Rivista, and Rivista is this brilliant platform that allows you to collect reviews and testimonies that are authentic and verified. And I feel authenticity plays, especially the verified part of it, plays a huge role with everything that's happening right now with Twitter and all. But be able to collect testimonies that are not just written by someone, but that are authenticated and verified, and also have work that showcases that, because social proof and proof of work are the building factors for anything. Even when you get discovered or you want to be discovered, you need to have these things. And with Abhishek, we're coming up with different approaches, content strategies, content, and different things where we can not just educate, but create things that can enable the potential so that we can tell the stories of others so that we can help them grow. And that's what Rivista is all about. And I'm helping them with all of these things.
So, you know, how does this process look like? In a sense, you help write a strategy or frame, like create graphics, or create a website, or like create videos, like how?
So I build the strategy. So I'm mainly a strategist, but with Abhishek, there are a couple of other things as well. But I, with everything that I do, I just build a strategy. And the strategy is not like a step-by-step program, but the actualization of what we want to do and what we can do, so that we know exactly what we want to build and how we can help others. So I help them figure out the different content approaches. And then they have contracted me for helping them with their content as well, so that it's brand centric. Then we have a couple of amazing things coming out in the few weeks that I'm helping them build. We can't release that yet because sneak peeks and spoiler alert, but there's something coming out. So keep a lookout on the app, Rivista apps, social medias and websites. But I'm helping them build things that can help you create a long-lasting impact and relationship with your right audience, which happens to be individuals, freelancers, and anybody who really wants to be seen for the impact they can create.
So, you know, if I were to ask you, I cannot even possibly imagine how you got here, because I don't think anyone can except for you. But could you share, you know, like what's next for you? Like, how do you think about, let's say, the next year?
So next is fun. Next is exciting, because next holds a lot. I'm at a point where my agency has done a lot of impact, and we have made all the not all, but at least the money we desired, but also impacted as many people as we could. Now we are at a multi-transitional point where from the agency it's leading out to a lot more other things. I'm going further into coaching, and for the past 2 years, I was coaching a lot of creatives, helping them be better at the business of freelancing and business of design, and also in strategic branding so that they can express their clients' personalities through their creative services, let that be copywriting, videography, or whatever that might be. And so I'm going further into coaching as I close my agency so that I can help more creatives be where they can be or where they want to be. And then I'm joining a lot of companies as their branding partner, brand consultants, because sometimes even if they can't afford my agency altogether, they can afford just me as a consultant. So I help their teams with their branding, and I'm joining them as an equity partner or, just a brand partner that gets paid in a lot of dividends and all. And then I'm building my own things. We have a couple of products of my own getting built that, again, sneak peeks, spoiler alert. So just this is enough of sneak peek, but we are building something that can help people capture a lot more of the epiphanies and seize them while they are at it. And then the biggest thing is the animal welfare. So I'm a huge dog rescuer. I always leave, you know, meeting sometimes when if I get notified that there's a dog near me that needs rescuing. My dog is actually sleeping right here as well. And if she starts barking, I'm sorry about that. I'm glad that she hasn't yet. But she heard that I'm talking about dogs. Like, oh yeah, something about me. I need to pay attention, maybe bark a bit. But I'm a huge rescuer. And what I want to build is a forever home for them, but not like a crappy shelter that has concrete bricks and doesn't get the animals any love and rather feels like a prison. But rather build an organization and a home mainly. The home is the main thing, where I can literally adopt these dogs as my own pets and give them a proper amount of love and luxury. The same thing we would give to our own pets, but to all these dogs that are rescued, abused dogs that are rescued, or just, you know, dogs that require a home, and find them a home by being their home for them and building an overall place that can be self-sustained through a lot of product lines that we will be building, but to create a home for these dogs. That's my, as far as I can see, the next chapter for me.
So, you know, when you are thinking about what's next, right, what all things do you think you take into consideration?
Well, that's a funny thing, because there are always responsibilities, and that's why I'm not losing my agency right away. I have certain priorities and responsibilities, and you can't let go of them just because you have a passion. So always find a way to be able to do them with while doing other things that I want to do. So they always play a huge decision, but to figure out what you want to do next, the idea comes at the worst of times or at the unexpected of times. Like, I never really thought I would be coaching, but then a friend of mine told me that you're really great at coaching. So I was like, all right, let me get into that. And I was already coaching people, but not as a service. Then I never really thought I'd go this deep into animal welfare that I'd consider closing my agency in a few years. But someone told me again that you're really great at it. So you do need these, you know, inputs from others. But it's when you keep doing things or the environment you're in that you decide that, you know what, there's a need and I'm someone who can fulfill it. I can create the solution for it. Even with the companies, when I work with them, I realize that they need someone and I'm out there. Even with building my own products, it was due to my relationship with Abhishek. I was like, it got back those memories of wanting to create further things as products as well. And working with his amazing team, I was like, you know what? I need to start getting into it. So I started reconceptualizing the products I wanted to build, made the branding and designs part of it. We're still working on a few things, but got that going so that at least when we can build it and when it's ready, we'll have everything all at once available for the amazing launch. But yeah, it's just when you're in the right environment and you do things that fulfill you, where you actually find out. But once you find them out, then you know it based upon your priorities and the current things that you're doing, that how and when you can start it or how much can you lay the seeds right now so that you can start working on it further when you're ready.
And do you have any thoughts on, you know, how the technology is changing? In a sense, you talked about AI for sure. But, you know, for example, a couple of years ago when Canva was not there, right? I don't know. I feel that there is a shift that graphic designers are finding it a bit difficult to be relevant. Do you think that is the case or that's just me? What do you think?
I think that is the case. And I mentioned this even in my talk about AI, as you brought up, which is that you will be replaced. I told this very clearly at the beginning of the talk. The change is coming and you're going to be replaced if you're not open to embracing and pivoting. You can do what everyone has been doing or what has been the most comfortable for you, but you are just going to be stuck there. And if you're not open to change, if you're not embracing and pivoting, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you're settling in the dust. Sure, there are tools and others can do what you can do. But what you can do is not create a particular type of design, but come up with a design solution. You need to have a deeper understanding. This is the time where you actually start thinking deeper, thinking faster, and thinking in a different and experimental point of view, because you need to start experimenting. You need to start thinking differently because the robots are here and you're going to be replaced if you're not going to change. And change doesn't mean you figure out a different style, but change means you understand how to go about looking at things differently and how you can use them. If there are tools that are making, you know, other clients use design assets very easily. Figure out how you can use this to make your amazing design solutions, and do come up with amazing design solutions, but also see how you can convert them in such a format that your clients can still utilize them through these tools. When we get clients who are comfortable in Canva, we look at it as an advantage that that's great. So you have a tool. Now let us make these amazing design systems that can help you. And then let us convert them in such layers and formats so that you can use them on tools like Canva, so that based upon your requirements and needs, you can adjust them. Because as a service provider, if you want to limit your clients, if you don't want them to grow, they're not doing a justice to your service. When we get clients who are using Canva LA, that's great. Let us make templates for you so that, you know, it's easier for you to use these things on Canva, so that after us as well, you're able to grow and you're able to utilize these things in different manner based upon your requirements.
Yeah. When you say, right, like people will have to start thinking deeper, what do you think you mean by that?
Deeper means you need to embrace change, firstly that. Secondly, you need to start looking at things from a humanistic point of view. And I'm a brand strategist. I used to be known as the humanistic brand strategist. Now I'm just known as the thought disruptor, because I always come across, and if you have an interaction with me, your way of thinking is possibly going to change very well and very differently. I like to disrupt your thought process, but you need to be thinking differently. You need to be thinking from a humanistic point of view. You need to be experimenting, and you need to start figuring out, if I can do this, what else can I do with this? What else are the possibilities? What else can be enabled over here? And based on that, you find experiments. You find out what can be done. And for me, it comes a bit more naturally now, because I have overcome limitations and tried to see how I can do that. But with everybody, there are tools out there. There are different ways to learn. You just need to see, if there is a tool, what can you do with it? Because you need to master the tool rather than mastering the style.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have, you know, anything that you would like to talk about?
Well, honestly, the conversation has been so far amazing, but I would love to hear your story as well, if you have the time for it. Ask you, how did you get started and how has it been so far for you?
Yeah, we got started as a, you know, design studio back in 2016. We were all still in college, just trying to do something. And I think second, third year of college, started as a design studio, was always interested in technology. So wanted to understand how to actually build technology, how to build apps. I'm not really quite sure how it all worked out, you know, because if you ask me personally, yeah, like I enjoy learning things. And so like the initial idea was, okay, can I learn and build a business around it? Yeah, when you say let's try to build businesses, sounds fancy, but it's not that fancy.
It is, but okay.
Yeah, it sounds fancy, but it's like, okay, I learned this new thing. Now, can I, you know, build a solution around it? Or can I talk to a company and see if I can solve a problem with it? And okay, that's great. I can do that. Now, okay, will there be a company who will pay me for it? You know, and you kind of keep on doing that over and over again. And the process of it refines what you are doing, right? And for me, right, that process involved talking to a lot of people. And so I thought that, okay, out of everyone I met, right, I always felt like that they always knew something more than I did. So then I thought, okay, this is all good. Okay. But how about I invite them, record a conversation with them and put it on the internet, right? So very basic idea. So it's like, I am already doing a lot of video calls. It's the pandemic. Can we record a video call and put the whole thing on the internet? And that's how the whole podcast started. Again, not a fancy idea at all. It's just, okay, I cannot answer questions fast enough. So what should I do? Okay, let me try to get in touch with people who can and ask them the questions, record the whole thing and put them on the internet. And I would say that's how we got started with the podcast.
You know what?
Yeah.
This so reminded it was me not, of a lot of things. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it was not like a, I would say like a grand strategy. Okay, let's do this and then let's do this and then we'll have a podcast one day, and then we'll talk to people from, I don't know, different people who are doing different things. Yeah. And one thing led to the other, you know, people kind of came in and it just kind of works now. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And honestly, most brand strategies are not planned. Like most of the pivots that take place, they're not planned. And even in a brand strategy session, you just figure out what else you can do or what else you can do differently. But it just happens. The point of embracement just takes place. But I loved what you said, because it reminded me, and it even kind of answered a question you had asked me, because it's about collaboration. And the funny thing is, when people are out there in the market, they're always fighting the person who does the same thing with like them. Another brand strategist would rather want to fight me than be my ally. But when we start to provide and educate people, we don't just learn more, but we actually open ourselves to further collaboration, where we're like, oh, you do the same thing as me? Please come on so that you can enlighten me. And when we open ourselves to embracing these things, we learn things in such a different manner that we are not just open to learning, but we're open to collaborating, interacting. And what you did yourself as well, not just with the podcast, but with how you started learning different things and seeing what else can be done, the solutions, that is how you do things differently. You can either do what you have been taught, or you can figure out that. And to everybody who's listening, I hope, you know, hearing both of us, it kind of gave you the roadmap in a way. Practically, it can obviously be different for you, but this is how things work. When you want to do something differently, you need to get out of the pipeline and rather work on things in a different manner. Because to all the clients and to all the people who are hiring someone, or to all the people who are providing a service and wondering why the change is happening, all these tools are out there and they're not great, or you hate them and everything. Here's the thing. The gap is closing in and dreams are tangible now. There are no more gatekeepers. Anything you want to do can be brought into your reality. Even nobody is stopping you, just like nobody's stopping your clients. You need to be just the person who can guide them rather than being the one fighting change.
Yeah, I can relate to that, but I think what you mentioned, right, could, I don't think... Like, it's a very new idea to embrace collaboration. So I'm sure, you know, we'll get there, all of us, but it's going to take a while.
Absolutely.
Well, I would say this was fun. This was nice.
Thank you. Honestly, it has been really fun. And yeah, collaboration will take place, but it starts with you. You can either look at yourself as someone who wants to compare and compete, always wonder how can you answer that question that why should I go with you rather than someone else? Or you can start to actually focus on your client's problems, but also start to look at others as allies rather than competition.
And, you know, thank you for sharing about your condition, because I really appreciate it. It's nice.
Thank you for asking, and thank you for providing me this platform to be able to share so many things, and on that as well, on the conditions, because it builds awareness, and it might even help someone who is going through similar things find possibilities. And that's what I'm all about.
And I love the fact that, you know, you are very aware about it, very open to talking about it. I really appreciate it, man. It's very nice.
Thank you. And I'm just glad that I got the chance to do this with your community and your audience as well. Thank you for having me. It's been a really wonderful talk.